Scripture lesson for Easter morning is Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came and sat down on the stone and rolled it away. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's Easter. So what? So the church is decorated beautifully and meaningfully with memorial and honorary Easter flowers. It's Easter, and Easter dinner is planned, from ham to something chocolate after giving up those sweets for Lent. So the church is full, like it was on Christmas and will be again next Christmas and next Easter. So what? Why? The answer begins with the bulletin cover that Barbara Newland found for us to use this morning. It's a Tiffany window. It's not one of ours, but a Tiffany nonetheless, and it tells the story of Easter. It also answers the so what and the why of Easter. And we all have to answer the so what and the why of Easter for ourselves. It has to be more than grand music and traditions and decorations. It has to be personal, just like it was for the people in the scripture lesson. Think about the women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, Jesus' mother. All they were looking for was to deal with their grief over Jesus' death. They went to the tomb as soon as they dared. The Sabbath was over with sundown Saturday night, which they observed. They also observed the custom that no bodies were embalmed during Sabbath. They really didn't want to face anyone in the bright daylight, so as soon as it was relatively safe, they went to the tomb. It's the Gospel of Mark that tells us they wanted to finish anointing Jesus' body. Matthew doesn't mention it, as he doubted that the Roman guards, more about them later, he doubted they would have permitted it, and the great stone door was in place. Most probably the women didn't really know what they were going to do there either. They knew they just had to go to deal with their sorrow and with their sadness and with their grief. And all of us can identify with that part of the Easter story. Sometimes we don't know what to do with life either. What can replace the presence of a loved one? What can deal with a disappointment, a deep hurt, a missed opportunity, a wound on our hearts? There's something to the music, to the flowers, to the celebration of Easter, but it still has to be more personal and more powerful and more real. It has to be as real as that angel who met the women and said, I know why you're here, and I know who you're looking for. But like he said, he's risen, he's alive, and I'm telling you, he's not here. That's why the sign of the church is an empty cross. Life is not Father Time holding an hourglass and saying only so much time and then it's over. Life is as real as an angel at the tomb indicating that this is just the beginning. And sooner or later, everyone meets the dawn of a new day. After a terrible, sad, lonely night or string of nights, and needs to know that our Heavenly Father does not take our loved ones away, but when sin and evil and death try, God steps in and keeps them for us until we're together forever. That's the so what and why of Easter and nothing less. But there is more. Think with me about the soldiers in that Easter account. All they were looking for was a little relief, a break, and a little less stress. And sometimes that's all we want. Sometimes we don't have the energy to want more than that. Somebody has to clean up after Easter worship. Somebody has to do the Easter dinner dishes. Somebody has to pay for the new Easter clothes. As far as the Roman soldiers were concerned, the best part of Passover was the over part. During Passover, some in Jerusalem got to feeling rather brave and nationalistic, and they remembered they were celebrating their delivery from slavery in Egypt, and now they were almost slave to the Roman occupiers. And sometimes that led to trouble during Passover. And so the normal presence of the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem was increased. Now, maybe with the dawn, there would be a little less chance of trouble. However, with the help of the other Gospels, we know what happened. First, there was the earthquake, then the angel, and then the soldiers were literally scared stiff. Now, some of us have been there in our lives. scared stiff. And some of us will be. That's just life. And life happens. And it either happens with Easter, so what, that God is on our side, or it happens without it, and we either hug that truth or we deny it. The soldiers were paid to deny it. Now, I want you to think with me just a little bit how ridiculous that story was that they were asked to tell. For openers, a guard of Roman soldiers is a technical term. It meant 60 men, none of whom was supposed to be sleeping on pain of death. They weren't air traffic controllers, they were Roman soldiers. And for good measure, are we or anybody else to think that a small, terrified group of disciples is going to try to snatch the body of Jesus from under 60 Roman noses? I don't think so. And if they did, would they take time to unwrap the body, fold the grave clothes, and drag away a naked corpse that by that time, in that climate, would be starting to decay? For good measure, consider this. If this resurrection business was a figment of somebody or some group's imagination, why pick Mary Magdalene to be the spokesman to announce it? She was the woman from whom Jesus, the scripture says, exorcised 7 devils, which means, in our terms, she was unstable. She was unbalanced. Surely that would take her out of the running as a credible witness, unless, of course, that's the way it was. Truly. And that's the more of the so what of Easter. It's the truth. Truth always sets us free to consider how life really is. The music and the flowers and the pageantry and the traditions come from Easter's truth. The Easter truth is that God gives us life and He loves us beyond death and He forgives us forever. That's the truth. How do you deny truth? What would you think of a medical researcher who discovered a cure for any and all birth defects and then kept that for him or herself and just a few friends and family? We can't come up with an adjective strong enough to brand such a person. That person would be worse than the soldiers at the tomb who covered the truth, who denied it. And what of us? We know the truth. To go back to the children's sermon, here we are. Which brings us to the disciples. Consider their part in the so what of Easter. They, like us, see the angel, know the truth, and then wonder which way to go and where to turn. I mean, it's got to be more than good. Lent's over, Easter's here, let's eat. The past events had broken their world into pieces and then exploded their whole view of reality. No account of the crucifixion resurrection lets us say that the disciples felt that Jesus was still with them in spirit, small s. We do that sometimes when we say a dear departed one is with us in spirit, and it's a mini denial of death. all the gospel accounts tell us that the disciples counted Jesus as dead, buried, and locked in a sealed, guarded tomb. They were looking for a way to go because they didn't know which way to turn. So for them, the so what and the why of Easter turned their previous blindness into what Jesus was talking about into a very keen insight. And their petty ambitions to be the greatest in the kingdom turned into true brotherly love. Their cowardice was gone, and they took on all comers, including persecution and martyrdom. That was their Easter so what and why. And yet, we read, some doubted. Thank God for that. Be very grateful that the gospel writer told us the whole truth. Because you see, the disciples are just like us, and we're just like them. We know doubt. We know questions. We know suspicious wonder. And sometimes the Easter truth comes ever so slowly. Sin gets in the way, clouds our vision, interferes with our faithfulness. So here's another Easter so what. Even doubt can be a beginning. One sage put it like this: who never doubted, never half believed. Where doubt is, there truth is. 'Tis her shadow. Put more simply, you can't doubt what you don't want to believe. And there's a lot of comfort in that. There's power in that. At times, it is so hard to believe until it's harder not to. And then thank God we can believe. The disciples still needed direction. What were they supposed to do with all this so what and why of Easter? Jesus Christ tells them precisely. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth. Now just ponder that a minute. Let that soak in. All authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the close of the age. Most of us here have been baptized. That doesn't mean we know all the so what and why of Easter. But it does mean that we're continuing to learn. We are continuing to learn about it. And we're called to share more of Easter's so what and why. So what? So look at the Easter flowers. And listen and be moved by the Hallelujah chorus at the end of the service. And go home and enjoy your Easter feast. And then tomorrow, decide. Like the women at the tomb, like the guards at the grave, and like the disciples who saw and heard Jesus, the risen Christ. What are we going to do with Easter's so what? Amen.